Speaking of poorly ran companies, how do you guys manage your 401k?
Oh, God.
Well,
I thought that was a great transition.
Well, I don't manage my 401k. I mean, I just leave it in the... I had a target date for quite a while. Like, I think it was like 2060. T-Rowe price 2060. Right. And I'd be interested to hear your thoughts on how it was. But, like, I just kind of chose it because it's going to, over time, start to even out the investments. And as I get closer to retirement age, I think they go in less risky ones, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
So I was like, okay, maybe the – and I don't know if I really paid too much attention to the fee, which is probably something I should have done. I don't – is it high?
Depends.
I would say – in most cases, it's not probably extremely high, but it's probably slightly above, like, just a Vanguard index fund. Mm-hmm. But I can't remember. I invested or won it at, like, the early part of my career, but I ended up just moving out of it because I think it's, like, even, like, the target date fund for, like, the youngest person still puts 20% of your investment in, like, safer investments, where I view it as I'm still young enough that I feel like I can just be fully stock market, and I manage mine enough that I can, in a way, make my own target date fund via cheaper by just picking funds and making it that way. But I've looked into a few, and the target date fund was like, it was a mix of like index funds. And I'm like, so you're investing in an index fund that invests in index funds. So I'm like, it just seems kind of weird to me, mm-hmm. but
I could see it being really helpful for those that don't really want to take the time to, like, be like, oh yeah, I'm gonna either find individual stocks to invest into, that's very risky.
Yeah.
Or what I have done is I've just found an S&P 500 index fund and just put money into that. And then I have some mid-market stuff and some small cap, but it's not, I feel like it's, I've changed it around, but I think for people that don't really want to take a lot of time or don't, I think it's really complicated. 2060 or whatever the retirement target date fund would be.
Yeah.
Not a bad choice.
So let's take a step back here. I think we're getting a little bit too into the details for those that may not fully understand what we're getting into about index funds and target date funds. So for those of you that save for retirement, I hope that's everyone listening.
What is a 401k?
Yeah, so a 401k is a retirement vehicle that your employer can offer you as a benefit, and they may or may not provide contributions at a certain percentage of your contribution rate.
So it doesn't come with $401 right away?
Unfortunately, no.
Or $401,000?
It's not
401ks.
It's not like Robinhood where you get a free stock if you start an account.
That'd be cool if it did.
And if you're in the nonprofit space or in the public sector, you may have something called a 403b. I'm not quite sure if there's anything else outside of a 401k or 403b that's employer sponsored. There very well could be. But those are the two more popular retirement vehicles that are employer sponsored. But if you have one, and you started contributing to one of those, you more than likely came across a situation where you had to choose what to invest your contributions towards. And that most likely came in the option of investing into a target date fund or an index fund or both.
I
can definitely switch it up and do both.
I think the past two companies I've worked at, if you opt to have a 401k and you actually didn't do anything after that, like after you click the box, say, I want a 401k, it automatically prompted for you to contribute the amount to get the full max of the company, but it automatically invested you into the target date fund to align with like your age.
Yes.
And obviously you have the option to opt out, but I thought that that was interesting that companies are now in a way automatically just setting you up with a target date fund instead of just throwing it into like a money market fund until you decide what you want.
Yeah. And so, you know, your first time doing this, it may seem like a lot to think about because you may not know what to choose and you may just do what Jeremy just mentioned and just say, let the company pick, which will likely be a target date fund. If it's offered, just because a target date fund is more of a built in retirement strategy into that retirement, I don't know, approach.
Yeah. It's definitely not the worst route to go if you just honestly just left it. But yeah, please tell us more about target date and index.
Yeah. So essentially with the target date fund, it your target date funds, hence the name target date. If you choose a target date fund, you're going to want to choose the target date in which you anticipate to retire. So for me at age 26, a 2060 fund would be what I would want to choose because that's roughly when I plan on retiring. Now over time, that target date fund may start out more weighted towards stocks rather than fixed income strategies such as bonds, because stocks offer a higher rate of return over a longer period of time. So when you're younger, you can afford to take some of that risk. You may not have as much of a asset base to protect. So you're going to want to grow that earlier on in your stage in retirement, going towards retirement. And over time, that fund is structured to become more conservative. By, you know, let's say age 30, your bond allocation may increase. By age 35 and 40, it's going to increase more. At by age 50, a lot of your portfolio may be more bond-oriented than stock-oriented because you have a big nest egg that you want to protect at that point in time. And then by the time you retire, it's going to be pretty significantly weighted towards fixed income. Like I said earlier, the plus side to going the target date fund route is it's kind of a strategy built in to the fund itself, whereas an index fund tracks a specific index such as the S&P 500, but it doesn't have to be an index of stocks. It can be an index of bonds. You can track a bond index. There are indexes for that. So you can kind of have the more flexibility with an index strategy if you want to have the freedom to choose your portfolio weighting.
Some people might be thinking, isn't a target date fund kind of an index fund? And in a way, you could probably say, yeah.
Yeah, because they can be made up of index funds.
Well, that, and I would probably say target date funds in a way are kind of a category of index funds, just since, or maybe a more actively managed index fund.
Yeah. Yeah. So index funds are not actively managed. So a target date fund is actively managed, and the fund managers may choose index funds to incorporate into the portfolio. Whereas like once Whereas mutual funds are not index funds because mutual funds are more actively managed by a portfolio manager. And they can also be included into a target date fund like index funds.
Yeah, I wanted to add there's two things to kind of highlight there. When it comes to age range, the recommended kind of risk portfolio is when you're younger, you're more risky. So you go into more stocks and like index funds. So I guess definitely more stocks because index fund is made up of stocks,
yep.
Individual stocks. And mutual funds are as well. So the more, I guess the older you get, the less riskier. So when you said conservative, like what does conservative mean? It means going maybe less riskier and then going into what's called bonds, which maybe we explain like real briefly what a bond is. But it's a less risky investment that if you put your money into, it's not going to drastically go up, but it's not going to drastically go down like a stock could do with yep. the volatility of it.
Yeah. Well, and how I kind of have always told people and managed it myself is target date funds are great for people who don't want to really deal with their retirement. They're just going to set the amount of like percent of their salary they're going to put in for a year. And then, yeah, you might be paying a slightly higher fee, but you have the ease of mind that you don't really have to do anything because it's an actively managed fund and it's going to adjust to your risk tolerance as you get older. Where if you put money into an index fund today and just never touched it, you would ultimately be stuck in that risky investment profile until you sold it and switched to something else.
Yeah. There is one caveat that I'd like to add to each strategy, indexing and targeting. And it's easier to explain with a target date fund though. Just because you're investing into a target date fund doesn't mean that you're going to reach your retirement or just general savings goal by a certain point in time. It's also dependent upon how much you invest at each time frame on your journey to retirement or your goal, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I'd definitely say probably invest at the minimum the amount that will get you your employer's full match, just because in a way it's free money. But if they don't have a match, then I don't know what people recommend, but I've always heard like you should invest 15% of your income, and within that 15%, if your employer say gives you 6%, then you could just invest 9%, or you could adjust 15 and then top it on top of that, which is probably going to speed up your retirement and just your overall fun, like I guess nest egg.
One thing to add as well, if you are a individual who just started in their careers and you hear that, hey, 15% is the ideal amount, you're going to look at 15% and be like, okay, if I do that, then I'm not going to have anything left over to like pay my bills or to save. So don't feel like you need to go immediately to 15%. That's an ultimate goal to when you're more financially stable. But you do want to put your money into some type of account to get that employer match and start putting your money away for retirement.
Yeah. How I have always managed my retirement was I just built my life around a 15% contribution. So then I never really have to adjust it. So in a way, I'm more involved on the actual what I'm invested in, but I'm less involved in changing the amount I'm investing each paycheck.
Yep.
So
it also depends on if you're living with someone, then it helps pay for expenses because then you can put more into your retirement yep. fund. So if you're a single individual, you know, don't feel like you need to eat rice and beans just to put that 15%.
Yeah. Well, and I think most 401ks have this option is you can have it bump up your contribution percent 1% every year. And I'm going to guess you can set like a stop. So it's not like every year. Well, I guess at some point you might hit your max contribution for the year, but
you check it in like 40 years, you're putting like half your paycheck.
Why am I not getting paid anymore? Yeah. Oh, it's going all into
being ripped off. You just have like $30 million in your investment account.
Yeah. I've actually never done that automatic percent. I've
turned it off every time.
No, yeah. Yeah. And just keep in mind, employer sponsored retirement plans aren't the only investment vehicles that you can contribute to a target date fund or an index fund. You can also do that via post-tax retirement vehicle methods like a Roth IRA. So you're not secluded just to employer-sponsored plans, just to clear that up.
Or a pre-tax IRA too.
Yeah, yep, exactly. Yep.
Or I think just a basic brokerage account, you could do that too.
Yes. You could probably even do it in Robinhood.
Yeah.
Is a broker account.
I don't use Robinhood much, so I guess I'm going to guess they have that option.
Yeah, they have iShares. They have iShare products, which have they have different index products or products that track the price of gold and silver.
Yep.
So
I never knew this until I started investing at Fidelity and worked with someone who actually worked there. I was always curious why employers only give you X amount of like things to invest in. And it's ultimately your company deemed these options as good investment vehicles to invest in. When I worked at UHG, all the other jobs had this option too, but there was like an option where you can opt out of your employer recommended funds and just invest in anything you want within the Fidelity ecosystem.
Okay.
Because then now with Fidelity, they have like the zero cost funds. So if you worked at a United Health group and that wasn't an option, you could technically click the I waive my right to be open up to everything, and then you can put it into a fund that charges you zero fees.
Yes. Yeah. So I guess to summarize some key considerations when making your decision to invest between a target date fund and an index fund, I have a few different points here. Index funds typically have lower fees because they're passive strategies. Literally, they're strategies just to track a specific index of securities, such as like the S&P 500, the Russell 2000, the NASDAQ. They can even track certain bond indexes, things like that. Target date funds, however, have a built-in retirement strategy. So if you're more of like the invest it and leave it and continue to contribute over time and not touch it or look at it, like a target date fund may be the option that provides the most value to you. However, target date funds can typically have higher costs when utilizing them as a retirement strategy because they're more actively managed and rebalanced over time. When you're considering an index fund, or if you're considering an index fund, don't expect it to beat the market, because to be clear, the strategy is literally to follow the market in which the index is structured towards. But it's very hard to beat the market in general, so you may be better off just indexing.
Well, like Mark Cuban, Warren Buffett, all of them just say put it in like an S&P 500 and just don't touch it.
Yeah, low cost, low turnover.
Yeah, obviously, as you get older, you probably should adjust that to a risk tolerance, but that's honestly what I just tell everyone is like, pick, if you literally just don't want to have to deal with your retirement, a target date fund is probably your best choice. Mm-hmm. If you want to have some management around it, you could do a portion in a target date fund and then do a portion that you do in other things, or you can kind of go the route I go, and I'm in a way building a target date fund on my own by investing in different funds, except now I can control the percent of what risk I want. Do you know what the difference is between the gross fee and the net fee on an account?
I was looking into that too. We should maybe clarify that.
I'm going to guess.
That's what Google's for. So it's the fee before any waivers and reimbursements. So the net expense ratio is post fees and reimbursements, mm-hmm. or waivers and reimbursements.
That's kind of what I kind of expected it. But to kind of like wrap things up, I think at the end of the day, like our whole conversation, it's kind of touched on the two main points of, well, maybe three. Point one, you should probably invest for your retirement in some way. Point two, if you don't really want to manage your retirement, target date fund is probably your best choice. If you want to have a little more control, probably go the index route. Another point you could also do is like, you could put your money in an index fund and then just like in 5-10 years, then reevaluate, be like, well, should I sell some of this and put it into less risky and do it that way? Where, as stated before, target, you just don't have to really do anything. It's going to kind of take all that headache out for you.
And you can also invest in individual stocks too.
Yes.
It's just, which is challenging.
Yeah.
But Caleb does that.
Yeah, I do that a little bit.
I've done it, and it's panned out a couple times.
Yeah. I bought Tesla stock. I think I made like a couple $100, but then I sold it.
It only worked well when I had the time to consistently value and analyze each individual stock. Beating the market's really hard. I wouldn't recommend it unless if it's your full-time job and you have large databases that can help you do that. But just be careful if you're investing in individual stocks. You're really weighting yourself towards a lot of risk if you don't want that amount of risk.
Yeah.
If you're not what, no, if you don't know what you're getting into, don't do it.
I'm pretty, yeah, Harley.
If anyone is that's listening to this is wanting us to dive into what the S&P 500 is or like more about index funds and stuff, we can, but this is more of a high level talk about 401k planning and retirement planning.
I would say in regards to picking stock on your own, the only success stories I've had have been in well-known companies. And all of my disasters have been in like penny stocks that
Ocugen.
That Caleb and I both thought were going to change the world.
Aqua Bounty, how's that doing?
I'm only down 20% on Aqua Bounty.
Oh, we got to buy more salmon. They not built the farms that they thought they were?
Oh, no, they are. They're building farms all over the place, man.
There's a little salmon swimming around in the salmon farms.
It's a salmon farm company?
Yeah, it's so they have they've engineered genetically modified salmon that cannot reproduce, but can live in freshwater aquaculture systems, and grow faster than natural salmon. So it's a mixed breed between, I think it's called the Atlantic salmon, and they've given it some genetic traits, I think from, this is really random, and it's kind of weird that I know this, but they give it some traits from
a monkey,
another trout species, I believe, to enhance its growth and to be able to live in the environment in which allows them to farm them. So it's a land-based salmon farming company. and really where they, their whole story comes in is salmon farming, the way that it's currently being done at sea is terrible for the environment. The quality is really poor. It's really hard on other fish in the environment, and it really destroys the ecosystem that the farming is taking place at. So they've created this better way to do it on land.
Dude, what if it was like a B2C model where you bought like a salmon farm and you could have in your backyard, and then you would be able to like sell it to like community grocery stores?
It'd be like a Chia Pet, but for salmon. So since they can't reproduce, then they just have to continually genetically modifying.
Yeah, so they genetically modify the eggs. They actually do have a salmon reproduction plant, I think, in Canada, but they modify the eggs so the salmon from those eggs that hatch from those eggs cannot reproduce. Then they farm those salmon.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Could they have the salmon have like legs and stuff?
I mean, based off of what they've been able to do, I wouldn't put it behind them.
Sweet. We're going to have a salmon pet soon.
I think the long-term goal is to expand into other different seafood products, but that's probably a long ways into the future.
Salmon are going to be swimming through their fish tank, and they're going to have like arms and legs, and they can't even use them.
The governor of Alaska is not a huge fan of them because it's a big threat to their wild salmon industry. So they call it Frankenfish, which is total BS. I'm actually kind of pissed.
I remember like
politics.
Like 6 months before COVID happened, I bought an oil stock and it was doing great.
Oh.
And I'm like, I'm going to ride this thing out and I'm going to be a millionaire. And then COVID hit, and then gas went to 99 cents. And I was like, fuck. There goes my retirement. So, yeah, don't invest in penny stocks. Or you can, just do not invest a large amount of money in penny stocks.
It's like a small bet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say a penny stock is like betting on the horse that has the worst odds. Yeah. Well, with that, I think we can move to the actual... And water cooler wrap up.
Yeah, that sounds sick.
And I will start, and it will be tied to the book Atomic Habits that I'm reading, that I found something extremely interesting in it. I can't remember what the beginning of the story happened, but it was these senators who were going over and visiting troops that were in the Vietnam War, and they were seeing on how all of them were becoming addicted to heroin, and they were trying to like figure out how, one, can we stop it from happening over there, but then when they come back, like give them the resources to stop. But it ended up being a good majority of the soldiers who came back, once they came back to the U.S., the U.S., they just kicked it automatically. And it was a rapid change in environment that allowed them to break that habit. And people view heroin as like the most highly addictive drugs. And they were saying it's interesting that someone in the US could be addicted to heroin, go to rehab, kick it. They're more likely to relapse than the soldier is who picked it up in Vietnam, came back and stopped. So it was just interesting that it was saying like breaking habits by changing like a big environment change can help you break some of the habits. And it was also, they also talk about how you word stuff to yourself can also help you break a habit. And like their example was I'm smoking cigarettes, and it was people like I'm trying to stop aren't probably going to stop because they're saying I'm trying to. But if you tell people I'm going to stop or I'm not actually a smoker, you're more likely to, because you're telling people what you want to be. Then it was just interesting that all of these like different viewpoints of how you can break habits and then make good ones. Like they, I think the one that I found the most useful so far is they call it habit stacking. So you take something you already like to do and then add the habit you want to it. Mm. So if it's like you really enjoy watching TV, but you want to start running, well, put a TV by the treadmill so you can watch TV, what you want to do, and then run what you don't really want to do. So that is my wrap up for the week.
My wrap up is a story. Okay. It is a brief story. It won't take too long, but so I was driving home from work one day, and this was last week. It was Thursday of last week. And I was just driving. It was kind of on the back road. So it's going probably like 15 miles per hour, 20 miles per hour. And I see ahead of me that there's a guy that's out of his car, in the middle of the road, had like an envelope in his left hand, and he was running around and picking up like these pieces of paper off of the ground. And there was a bunch of pieces of paper. They were flying all over the place. So I looked at him, and it looked like there was a reason why when you have an envelope in your hand, you're like, there's something important in an envelope, right? You don't just have like random like sheets of paper in there that don't have anything on them. And these were like little, probably 2 inches wide by and like 5 inches high. So he was running around trying to pick up all these bunch of pieces of paper, and there's a bunch of people just passing him that were like, what are you doing? Like, what? And they weren't shouting at him, but it was like, what is this guy doing? Just out there running around in the middle of the road. So I passed him and I got like a block down, and I was like, that doesn't seem right. Like, why is that happening?
Yeah.
So I turned around and I parked behind his car, and I got out, and he was probably maybe in his 50s or 60s. And I got out and I asked him if he needed help. He's like, yeah, these are all my receipts from the liquor store nearby. And like, I need them to like balance my books. And I'm like, oh shit. Okay. So I spent like the next 10 minutes or so running around, just picking up these pieces of paper. Cause there was probably like 50, you know, there's a bunch of them. And he probably would have been there for like an hour or something, just picking these up. Cause they were just getting scattered all over the place. So I picked a bunch of them up, had like a stack, and I gave it to him, and he's like, thank you so much for your help. Like, I appreciate it. Like, this is, I'm the owner of this liquor store that's nearby. And he said the name, I'm not going to say it, but, he's like, I own this liquor store. These are all the receipts that I need. So thank you for your help. And he's like, stop by, I'm going to get you whatever you want. You know, it's on me. I'll take care of you. And I'm like, dude, I appreciate it. I was like, I might stop by, but I went home. And I thought to myself, I was like, you know what? I'm not going to go there and like, just be like, oh yeah, I'll take a case of beer. But I called him and I just wanted to check in to make sure he was okay. Like, I called the liquor store.
Yeah.
And he's like, I appreciate what you're doing, or that you've stopped. He's like, stop by anytime. And the moral of this story is that random acts of kindness are real. Right. And I didn't expect to be like, oh yeah, I'm going to do this to get free beers. Like, I had no idea what the guy was. Like, he could have been there could have been like little pieces of paper that he's like collecting for his art project. But, I just think that's a good takeaway, is if you see someone that needs help or see someone that could use a little help, even if they don't ask for it, it took 10 minutes out of my day to lend a hand, and it could have saved them, you know, a bunch of struggle and worry at a later time. So that's my wrap up.
I honestly thought when you first started, you, like, the guy said that these were his receipts from alcohol he bought. I'm like, is this guy an alcoholic? Yeah,
yeah. It's like, I need these.
But yeah, I mean, I totally agree. Like, one, like, in this case, it ended up being someone who owned a business. It could have just been anyone. Mm-hmm. Like, I even know that, like, the trend of people who will buy the coffee for the person behind them. Mm. And I don't even know if it's true, but they've said like how there's been a case where like it like transitioned 10, it followed 10 cars.
Yeah.
Huh. Interesting.
But then like, well, part of me was like thinking like, well, how do they know what that person's going to order. But my guess is when they get up to the window, that person is probably already ordered, and they say, here's for this, and then also pay for that person.
Yeah. Yeah. And random acts of kindness doesn't have to be monetary. It can be time, right? Like, go volunteer somewhere. Get out there and give back, because that's where I get a lot of my, you know, warm and fuzzies, I guess, if you want to call it that. It's just a good feeling.
Caleb?
Well, I don't know how I can top either of your guys's. great ones, by the way. But mine was more oriented towards, like, the topic of investing, kind of related to today's conversation. And there's just one thing that I'd like to put out there, but I've never invested into any of the ARK funds created by Kathy Wood's team. But I would just like to say, because I know that it's pretty popular for millennials, but a lot of millennials like to invest in ARK funds. I mean, great if your risk tolerance is that high, but just be really careful, because their valuations are extremely lofty and they have price targets going out in like 5 years in advance of today. And they're just so lofty. I think that they hire really good analysts that may be experts in their industry, but they may not have the credentials to do the type of valuation work required to do like risk assessments, risk analysis of the companies that they're buying. Like, just recently in June, they came out with a price target for Zoom at $1,600 per share. It's currently trading under 100. They had a Tesla price target of, I think, 5,000. They had quite a few other price targets come out over the last like 2 years. Their fund's been getting killed. You've likely lost significant amount of money if you had anything invested into ARK funds. So just be very careful.
Speaking of Tesla, kind of, I watched a video on the new Ford F-150 all-electric vehicle, and I don't know why I didn't realize this, but like, the front part of the truck is just another like trunk.
Yeah.
And it's probably just because I'm so used to an engine being there. Like, I think the video started with like the guy opening the hood and like he was inside the hood. And I'm like, what the fuck? But, what? Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Yeah. Well, because they have that whole compartment that's open now, because they don't have like the big bulky like gas engines.
Yeah.
They've got to figure out the whole supply chain thing with electric cars, though. Because that's not even sustainable.
So,
which should be another episode for sure.
I didn't know this, but I was talking to a friend who just recently bought a car. It was a used one. And I asked him why he bought used versus new. And he said, because all of the new cars right now just don't have chips. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
I'm like, so then when chips come available, do you then go get it? And pretty much it sounded like you can, but you have to like pay. And it was just now thinking that when those cars become used cars, you're going to be buying a relatively newish car, but it's going to be like kind of from the Stone Age, because it just has no chip in it.
Yeah, so. A lot of new cars don't have heated seats anymore. They might not have some of the bells and whistles that you would have gotten in like a 2020 model.
What's the point of having a car if you can't have heated seats?
Does yours have heated seats?
No. I don't know if heated seats were around when my car came out.
Probably mine's a 2011. Well, that's probably, yeah, they're probably heated seats in 2011, right?
Now it's like AC seats or heated seats for the people in the back. Because they're running out of things.
Yeah.
But now, since they're going back in time, having a chip in your car is going to be cool. Mm. So once it becomes available, it's going to be like, yeah, but my car has a chip.
Yeah, but my car has a CD player.
So on that topic, the Senate just passed the CHIPS Act today, which incentivizes more chip production on U.S. soil. So,
interesting.
That may mend the gap in the supply chain of chips.
But yeah, well, I think that wraps it up for the week. Per our legal counsel, it is recommended that we tell you all to go follow us on our socials.
Mm-hmm.
And those socials are on LinkedIn.
Water Cool Podcast on LinkedIn. Go find us. No cover photo and no link to anything on there. So
I'll fix that. On Twitter.
Be a surprise. So follow now.
Yeah. On Twitter, we are Water Cooler Pod with the word water is spelled WTR. And I'm going to guess our Instagram is the same.
Instagram is where it's at, honestly. Rob does a killer job. Our intern, Rob, does a great job doing that. At Water Cooler Pod, WTR Cooler Pod.
Yep. So spelled the same way as our Twitter. Yeah. So per our legal counsel, go follow it. All right. That wraps it up for the week.
Hey, I'm the truth. I'm the truth. I could buy it, but it's just a rental. It's not a good investment. Being bad with your money is being good at flexing. They always chasing a bag, I guess they couldn't catch it. They trying to be like me, but it's not a good impression. I used to get on instrumentals just to get it out my mental. I was handing out my demos and they wouldn't check it. They told me I'd never make it, but now they get the message. That's important information, so I wouldn't text it. They want to get a reply, they want screenshots, but they won't get a response, not even three dots. These sheep talk, no lying, they throwing cheap shots. I had to cut some people off, I had to detox. I keep talking in my head, I got deep thoughts. On the steps where me and Navy did the beatbox. Been old school like Reeboks with knee socks. Corbin know I fuck him up when the beat drops. I'm coming back more level-headed.
This show is for entertainment purposes only. Before making any decisions, please consult a professional.